what should I call this? This is given by
Yoel Klein.
Yoel Klein. How do you spell that?
Y-O-E-O. Klein, K-L-E-I-N.
Great, thanks.
You're on.
All right, so we were in the middle of Mishnah 4, Perek Aleph and Perek Avos. The Mishnah said like this, Yossi ben Yoezer ish tzredak, Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim kiblu mehem. They were the next in the line of the tzaddikim that received from Moshe Rabbeinu from back to Arsina. Yossi ben Yoezer ish tzredak oimer. Your house should be a meeting place of the chachamim. And you should roll in the dust of their feet. You should drink thirstily of the chachamim's words. So last week we were speaking a little bit, or a few weeks ago before the chagim, we were speaking about different ways of being mekayim, based on chachamim, to have tzaddikim, to have chachamim come to your home. It's not so easy for the average guy to have, to make his home open to tzaddikim, that he'd have any connection that they'd want to come. So some of the ideas were to make a shul in your house. This way you always have people coming to your house. So there's always kedusha there. Other Rav Shik spoke about how there's many little, quote unquote, little tzaddikim that are, in Gullis or whatever reason they're on the road. They need a place to stay. You could also gain a lot from them. So now we move to Rav Nosson. Nosson has a very interesting point on this. He brings it from the Pasuk in Shema. It says in Pasuk in Shema, "Uchsaftem amezuzos v'sefo v'shorecha." You should write the mezuzah on your home, on the doorpost of your home, and on your gates. So he says it's very interesting. It says, "Uchsaftem amezuzos v'sefo v'shorecha" is actually singular. "Uchsaftem," you, is plural. So in a very simplistic way, it means that Hashem is speaking to everyone that you should write it on each individual in their house. But it is a little bit strange that it says it stretches from singular to plural, plural to singular. So Rav Nosson explains like this. He says, what is a mezuzah? A mezuzah has Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the essence of it. You have a little shin on it to always remind you that Hashem is one. So when a person comes into a home, touches the mezuzah, it represents Hashem's achdus, Hashem's unity in this world. So he says that the same thing is when a person brings chachamim into his home. So chachamim, very often, they bring all their different types of ideas. This chacham looks at things this way, this one looks at things that way. Everyone has their idea. This one says the main thing is tefillah, that one says the main thing is Torah, that one says the main thing is gemilas chasadim. Everyone is presenting their own views, but they're all one, and they all agree, and they all unify in their views, because they're all coming from Hashem's will. And he says the same thing is with a person in his home. That's why we have a mezuzah on the house, and that's why it says it from changes of chsaftam from plural to singular, that the point of a home is to bring diverse opinions and feelings into unity. This could happen with a husband and a wife. They each have their own opinions and different ways of looking at things, but they come together and they bring it together. And it could happen even, a parent and a child, or even roommates. Wherever there's more than one person living in a home or in a room, it represents a clash of opinions and a clash of a difference of opinions. And if we have the mezuzah on our door, that basically reminds us and helps us to make it a beis vad chachamim, which means a place where all of our different ideas can come together in achdus and emuna, based on that they're all coming from Hashem. Another way to maybe have a beis vad chachamim is to have a lot of svarim in your house. You got some Kabbalah, you got some Gemara, you got some Halacha, you got some Sefer Breslov, Sefer Gra. You have all these svarim together in your house, so svarim are basically the essence of the tzaddikim that they live on forever. It's their whole life is in their svarim, their whole message and their whole essence. So when you have different svarim in the home, it basically is a meeting place where at least the teachings of the chachamim come together in your house. That would be kind of like a way of looking at it, that the base of the chachamim is like almost like their essence in the sefer. So the sefer is almost like almost feel like a picture, Like
certain people judge you when they come into the house, in a good way. They come and they're like, oh, you have this sefer.
Of course.
Like, as if you don't learn it outside, you don't learn it, you don't want it outside, you maybe learn it from Russo or something.
Yeah. No, it's true. Whenever you walk into the house, you just quickly scan the swerve thing. You see not one Sifrei Breslev, not one Sifrei Hasidus.
I know what he is.
You see like all the worn out Gemaras and the Rashbas, and then, okay, you're like, alright, this is the guy. You know? You see one that's like, you know, all sorts of English books and like a few Hebrews. Okay, you know, like you get a decent picture of a guy from his farm shine. But that's cute, like almost like having pictures, you know? It's like an essence of the tzaddik, and it's there, but it's just there. Like the Rebbe says, he says that. It's very nice to have all this farm of the Chachamim, but you're supposed to learn that. So the next level is that's what the Svasema says. He says that based on the Chachamim is actually that you study the words of the Chachamim. Specifically, he says, the Svasema is mentioning them by name. You say, Abaye says this, and Rava says this. You don't just say, yeah, whatever the Gemara is speaking, I'm a chalik, is here. You say the name of the tzaddikim, and he brings down a source of this from the Yerushalmi that says that when you're learning a sefer from a tzaddik, you should mention their name and look at it and imagine it as if the entire tzaddik is right there. So this concept is obviously brought down in Breslov War by the concept of Shemus Tzaddikim. The Rebbe Nachman taught, he said that, you know, when you call a guy, you say Yaakov. So, you know, a portion of Yaakov doesn't come. The whole Yaakov comes. Your whole essence, your whole being comes over to me. Same thing when a person mentions the name of a tzaddik, he says Rabbi Nachman, he says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So the whole essence of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Nachman taught, comes to the person. By doing that, you're basically drawing a tremendous power from the tzaddik into your life, into wherever,
yeah,
whatever you're doing.
Part of it. I've been trying to figure out.
I hope so.
I started doing it.
The Rebbe mentions that, and then he has the whole thing of Shem Tzadikim, so I think that they're connected.
Okay.
I'm still trying to be Mavari if there's a direct connection that the Rebbe says that's why that's a concept of Shem Tzadikim. But he definitely mentioned this concept of bringing the whole essence of a person in the Likutei Moran by mentioning their name. And
yeah, when a person's asleep. So when a person's asleep, if you mention their name, they wake up because you call their soul or something. I forget exactly what it was. Yeah.
Could be because you're screaming their name in their ear. Also.
That's right. That's right. What I read. What do you mean? Oh my God! You got
it. Alarm clock. Right. So meaning that would be a little higher level. Meaning just to own a sefer, to have a picture of a tzaddik, would be like, okay, it's there. It's a little a shell, ke'ilu, a physical manifestation of the tzaddik in your home. To have all the different tzaddikim is great. Mentioning their name, now you're saying you're bringing their whole essence into your life. An even higher level would be like the story, the famous story. The older Breslovers will tell it to you with the real name, but I'll tell it to you with a made-up name. That Rav Nosson's Tom, one of his Talmidim, were once crying that he never got to see Rav Nachman. So Rav Nosson said, he said, who got to see Rav Nachman? Yossel, the water carrier, the guy that was the wagon driver of Rav Nachman. He said, you think they saw him? They saw a face. You learn the sefer. You keep the whole thing of Breslov. You see Rav Nachman. That's Rav Nachman's face is in his farm, in his words, which means that you have to learn this form. The learning this form is the higher level of based on chachamim, making all the chachamim into your home, bringing them all into your home, is actually learning this form. That's the next shot, actually, of the svasem is in these very words. He says based on chachamim, that the chachamim should be, the beischa is the house of your heart. That your heart should be a based on chachamim, meaning that you should have the words of the chachamim toiling, going backwards and forwards and this way and that way, always in your heart you should be working and grinding through the words of the Chachamim, making your home, your house, meaning your heart, into a base called based by the Chachamim. Maestro, how do we do that? First of all, how do we get all of the words, how do we bring the Chachamim's words from being just something that we know into our heart? Obviously, people could learn. You had nice guys in Yeshivas Volozhin many years ago that would smoke cigarettes in Shabbos and learn the Gemara and Tosfos and get a Gishma.
Really?
So the point of learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, everything. You even have people in this generation that learn Rabbi Nachman. I had a story once. It was very cool. Not very cool. I was in once Shabbos I ended up in some pizza shop in town with my wife. I don't know how. And
yeah.
Here, and we were there, and it was very packed, so this guy sat down next to us, because there was, like, no room on the table, so he sat down on our table. We said, sure, come sit down, American guy, no kippah, didn't look very religious, with his 12-year-old daughter. So he started, no, totally American, he didn't speak a word of Hebrew. So he started schmoozing with us, and he says, you know, whatever, we're here, we're visiting, we're having such a blast, we're seeing all the things. And he was schmoozing, and we were being very friendly, obviously, and so he says, so, you know, what are you doing? What is it? I said, I mentioned something about Rav Nachman. He goes, wow, Rav Nachman. I love Rav Nachman. I said, really? Like, where did you hear of him? He says, well, on the internet, I was, you know, searching, and I found Yosef Karduner. Do you ever hear of him? I was like, of course, Yosef Karduner, such great music. He was like, I fell in love with the music, so I started reading some of the things. and it's unbelievable. He starts telling me how he loves Reb Nachman, and then he keeps talking to me, and he goes, yeah, you know, when people even speak to me, I describe myself as basically in between being a Breslover and an apikoros. He's like, I don't keep anything. He's like,
that's
I love wrestling. What should I do? You know?
Our generation, brother, that's amazing to hear.
Yeah, I told that over in my shul once, and there's a slun of Rechasa that's always like out to get wrestlers, and he was like, only in wrestling you hear such a thing like that. No other Chassidus to hear such words.
What do you mean? In the outside, you should have said to him in the outside,
where
he's like, well, in the outside, otherwise
it
would have been either one or the other.
Right, no, listen, we could all appreciate a guy that says that, like, yeah. But he can't appreciate it from the Baruch Hashem, from the older generation. Anyways, so the point is that, how do we make this? How do we change just learning Breslov, learning Torah, and bring it into our hearts? And to make it something that's like what the Sfasem is saying, that our hearts are toiling, are rolling around with the words of the Chacham. So the nice of the next few things in the Mishnah actually opens it up a little bit. So we'll go through it and we'll get some etzes. The next line in the Mishnah says, "Have a abeg ba'afar aglehim." You should roll in the dust of their feet. You should sit at their feet. I mean, in the olden days, I think that they actually would sit in the dust right by their feet. You know, they had like a big base medrash. They probably didn't have much stuff. It was just dust. But the Gra explains. He quotes Avis the Rav Nosson. He explains that what does it mean to sit? It means literally to sit at the feet of Chachamim and receive their words like with fear and trembling, like mamish, like you're at Har Sinai. Whenever a Chacham's talking, you're thinking that like you're at Har Sinai and you're receiving the Torah from Hashem. So right, so that's an amazing thing. But if we go back to Mishnah Aleph, we spoke about Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai. We said a lot about how Sinai really represents different concepts of the prerequisites that you need to receive the Torah. Some of the things we said was Achdus and Simcha and different things. So that could also open us up to how we receive the Torah, how we receive the Torah with trepidation from Sinai, from all these things. They could also help us to bring when we approach the Torah with Simcha, with Achdus, with love. So then all of these things can help us to come and connect to the Torah in a proper way. The next line of the Mishnah says, "V'leishesa batzama esivrehem." You should drink with thirst, thirstily their words. So the Bartanura explains this in the simple way. We always go to the Bartanura to understand the simple meaning of the Mishnah. He says that a thirsty person, you give him anything to drink, it'll be, you know, a coffee without any sugar, he'll drink it. He's mamish dying of thirst, he'll drink it and he'll get a geshmak. However, someone that's mamish, like, just came up from, like, a huge barbecue and he had so much soda and everything, you give him the sweetest drink in the world, he won't be able to taste it. He says the same thing as with a person, that we have to basically find the part of our neshama inside that's parched, that's thirsty for the words of Hashem. The other parts, they seem, you know, like the heart that's running after all the types in the world. They're like, yeah, we had enough with the words of Hashem. We don't need any of their words. Just, you know, give us some more stuff, some more Coke. But the part inside of our neshama that mamish thirsts for the words, you have to try to find that. That's what the Bartanura says. But the nice thing, where do we get this? We have a tremendous etzah from Rav Volbe, Rav Shlomo Volbe, the Mashkiach, that he basically quotes from Naftali Amsterdam, one of the greats in Musar, but he adds a little bit, and he says, he gives us a tremendous etzah, and almost a mahalach of how to change chachma to or. That's how he called it. Basically, from something that you know that's rolling around in your head to something that, if, you know, someone punches you in your face, that's how you would react, you know? I know that I'm not supposed to be angry, but all of a sudden some guy, you know, comes up in your street and pushes you to the floor, you get angry. But when it's in your heart, then you don't get angry. It's becoming your heart, and it doesn't happen anymore. So he says, how do you do that? So he says that you have three steps to try to do this. It's a Musar way to try to do this. He says, first of all, whatever concept you're learning through that you want to internalize, you have to grind it through like a sugya. He says, even if you're learning Musar, or you're learning Likutei Maran, or whatever it is, you found the idea, it's amazing, it's unbelievable. He says, grind it through like a sugya, like an Ian sugya. What does it mean? What does it mean? You ask questions. Exactly what does it mean that when I serve up, when I get angry, it's like I'm serving a Avodah Zarah? What does that mean? You speak it out and you grind it and ask questions and until it becomes super duper clear in your mind what the Maimar Chazal, what the thing is saying. That's the first step. Unless you don't, if you don't have that super clear, then it's not going to be super internalized properly into your heart. The second step, which is basically the addendum of Volba, to Rav Naftali Amsterdam, he says that the second step is to see how close and how far you are from this particular idea. Meaning, you know, you could learn something and you learn it and you see it very clearly and you're like, that's a great idea, and you start to work on it, but if you don't see how it applies to your life, you know, then it doesn't really apply to you. You know, but if you start to see, like, oh, you know, sometimes my kid, you know, pulls on my beard so hard and I actually get angry at a 2-month-old child, you know, so maybe that's a place where I can start working on my anger. Whatever it is, you start to find places where it applies to you, so now you can, you know, it becomes more personal and becomes something that you'll actually take into your life if and when you do the third step, which the third step, the Musar masters have called his pilus. It's a very hard word to translate, but basically like wonder. Basically to make it very powerful in your mind, this Maamar Chazal. As there's stories with Rav, you know, Yisrael Salanter, that they listen to him in an attic, like we're in an attic right now, and then like in the middle of the night, from like 3 to 5 in the morning, they heard him going up and down the attic, repeating one Maamar Chazal, you know, like one pasuk, for 2 hours straight. He would repeat the pasuk, So Yiftavah Kol Nishma, So Lekim Yira, Kizeh Kol Adam. Like he would just repeat it over and over. That's called his pilus. The Muslim people said that just to say it over and over again, becomes very, very entrenched in your heart then. It's taking it from your mind into your heart. Breslev, we speak, Rav Nachman told us to change all the Torah that we learn into Tefillah. It's almost the same thing. Basically, Hashem, Hashem, please, I learned this Maamar, Hashem, everything is Hevel. What am I doing? Why am I wasting my way? In the end, what's going to be left? Only the Torah and the Mitzvahs. So Hashem, please help me to serve you. Help me just do Torah and Mitzvahs. They're both basically the same thing as all of the Beisla Beisad, the Chacham, all of the words of the Chacham all come from Hashem. So it's all basically together. So, but he says, Rav Volva says that by doing these three things, you basically change the chachma that you know, and you can make it into a way that you just react basically in those ways. Another thing that Rav Volva of Shulkowski, who gives the shiurim on Ali Shur on Rav Volva, he told us in those, and when we were learning this particular piece, he said that, you know, you're going to think that this is going to happen overnight, you know. But it's not, you know, even when you're working on something, you have to know that even that is going to take months, maybe years to internalize fully and really a concept that so much so that you'll react in that way. There's a story from the Chidushei Arim that helps us understand this whole thing. That this person once came to the Chidushei Arim and he said that I'm constantly forgetting my learning. I learn, I forget. It's very hard, I try, really. So he said to him, you know, the Kutzkers, all the people that came from him, the Chiddush Arim and the Geras are very sharp, very emistic. So he said, when there's food in front of you, you sometimes, you know, you forget to put the fork in and take it to your mouth. No, of course not. You know, it's food. I need it to eat. I need to live. So he says, so do you need it with the Torah. He says, you know, if you'd recognize that if you don't learn this Torah and you don't have it inside of you and you don't remember it, then you're not going to live, then you wouldn't forget anything you learned. So there's a story that I heard personally with Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg, if those are familiar with Rav Tzvi Meir, very fiery Ovid Hashem in Yerushalayim. Comes from Muncie, though. So,
is this current?
Who? Yeah. What do you mean?
I mean, what time period is this?
Rav Tzvi Meir is now alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, you know. You can go Gishmonim on Shal Shudis. He gives 6-hour Shal Shudis. Very, very kedai. Davin's very long, very powerful, very awesome, amazing year. So, but now he's, I guess, around 50 years old. When he was 18, he was learning Yeshiva Slabodka here with a guy named Zalman that I know. So Zalman told me this story. It's not like a story that's in books or anything. It's a story that happened with Zalman. You know Zalman?
Zalman.
Zilber?
No.
Probably know his kids. Anyway, so Zalman said that when he was 18 on Seemeyer, from when he was 5 years old, he was like in cheder. He would like jump up if they teach him an aleph. He was like aleph. He was like very fiery, always very into Avodas Hashem from a young age. But Lemaisa, when he was 18 learning with Zalman, he would learn for 10 hours straight. You know, people say, oh, okay, 10 hours straight, it means, you know, like, you know, coffee breaks and bathroom. He wouldn't get up from his chair. He wouldn't look up from his gemara for 10 hours straight in the summer. Straight. He wouldn't go to the bathroom. He wouldn't have a coffee break. He wouldn't stop learning for 10 hours straight. He'd get stuck to the chair. That's true. So Zalman once told him, he said, Rav Tzvi Meir, he says, like, listen, I understand, you know, you could train yourself and break yourself not to, like, not to go get that coffee, not to even drink for 10 hours straight, not to bottle, it's hard, but you could do it. I could see how it's humanly possible for a person to, you know, to work. He says, but not to go to the bathroom for 10 hours straight is not human. Like, don't you have, like, a body? Like, you just need to go to the bathroom for 10 hours. So he said, right, this happens to be true, that he when he goes on airplanes now, he fasts, like, the entire day before, so he shouldn't have to get up and go to the bathroom, because he doesn't want to be in the airplane, like, amongst the not men gender. So he, but Lemaisa, he said to him, Zalman, he said, where's General Sharon? This was in the early 80s, when Sharon was in the trenches fighting the Lebanon wars, if you ever know about those wars. So He said, you know, he's fighting with his troops in the border. He said, let me ask you something. If they're in the trench there, and they're going machine gun battle, boom, 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 up and down with the Arabs. He says, does it cross their mind? I have to go to the bathroom. He says, it doesn't cross their mind, right? He says, Barasi Yitzhar, Barasi Torah Tavah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, the Yitzhar is trying to kill me every second. He says, the Torah is the only antidote, is the only gun that I have against him. I'm going to get up. He says, it doesn't cross my mind to go to the bathroom. You see, a person that lives with such a fiery recognition that the Torah is something that we need to live, that the Yitzhar is mom is coming to fight us and destroy us every second of the day, he's someone that could recognize that he won't forget the Torah, even though Rav Tzvi Meir chazers around 40 blot a day, and he chazers and chazers and chazers. Either way, you need chazar, but the point is, when you have such a powerful recognition that the Torah is something that we need to live, then, yeah, that's before Shacharis.
Before Shacharis?
Before Shacharis. You learned the something like that, 40 blot, something like that. Anyways, but when we recognize that the Torah is that which we need to live, and that without it we cannot live, but the Yitzhar is mamish, like the Rebbe says, he tries to make us meshuga mamish, he makes us crazy people. If we don't have the Torah, then we would probably, first of all, learn the Torah more, work it into our heart more, and not forget it nearly as quickly. Another point that's brought out from this Mishnah is from the Or HaChaim. He points out that the word, it's interesting, in the Mishnah it says, have a misavik ba'afar raglechem. Now, misavik is from avak, from dust. Dust is just, in Israel we know what dust is very well. It's dust, it's nothing. Ba'afar, afar is dirt. Dirt, well, right. But dirt is something totally different. With dirt, you could make bricks, and you can make mortar, and you could think, with dust, you can't do anything. Dust is absolutely worthless.
Sneeze.
So, right, sneeze. So he says, what's the Mishnah coming to teach you by changing every word in Pirkei Avos? You can see tremendous lessons. So the Or HaChaim says that, what is the Mishnah coming to change from that? He's teaching a tremendous lesson in life with coming close to the Chachamim Tzadikim. He says that a lot of times we hear words from the Chachamim that are having misavik, that we think that they're avak, they're dust. You know, like the stories with the Reb Nosson and the Rebbe, they would be walking, strolling around, the Rebbe would start talking about something. Often the Tzadikim speak about different stories and things, and they say different comments to you, and it doesn't seem to hold any weight. It doesn't seem to be anything. It's avak, it's dust, right? He says, ba'afar aglechem. You have to know that every word that they say holds tremendous meaning and brings and builds. Ba'afar is dirt that you can make mortar and bricks and dinyanim with. He says, everything that we hear from the tzaddikim, we have to recognize that it's mamash like that. That I just read a story recently that was similar to this in All for the Boss from Yaakov Yosef Herman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he had this whole story where Ruchama Shane, whose daughter, and her husband Rav Moshe, they got a new apartment. So apparently it was like, I don't know, they didn't say it clearly, but apparently it was nice. It was nice enough that he felt like they should do something for Hashem also. So he told them, you should have a Sefer Torah, write a Sefer Torah and keep it in your apartment. Write a Sefer Torah, you know, I could give money to tzedakah, I could give money to yeshivas, write a Sefer Torah. So they said, fine. They wrote a Sefer Torah, they made a big achnas of Sefer Torah, they kept it in their apartment, very nice. They made a little aron, a little cute aron. A couple of weeks later, there was a massive like blizzard in Lower East Side of New York, and none of the tzaddikim that lived in their building could go out of the house for shul, for Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein, all these huge tzaddikim that lived in their building, so they all came knocking on Rav Shane's door, and they said, "We heard you have a Sefer Torah. Maybe we can make a Vesikin minyan here." So she said, "For sure, come over." So next morning, early in the morning, they all came over. They had a beautiful minyan with like three of the Gedolei Ador of the generation and
wow,
a few other people. Sure enough, they all enjoyed it. They had such an amazing
Gitalot.
Sure, they had a kiddush and herring and Yerushalmi kugel with pickles. With pickles. It's not Yerushalmi kugel.
No.
Pickles. Gala, maybe. No. Shaila, it was gala. Anyway.
There's something here.
They didn't know what the sushi was in those.
No, then they
the Japanese didn't invent it yet.
So
he said, after that, they said, you know, it was such an amazing minion, it was so great, maybe we can make this minion more. Vesikin minion, because there's no Vesikin minion. So he said, sure. So from then on, for a few years, until Ruchama Shane and her husband moved to Eretz Yisrael, they had a Vesikin minion with the Gedolei Ador in their house, which obviously in of itself,
awesome.
It's beautiful, it's an amazing thing. She was already saying, like, wow, my father told me to write a Sefer Torah, it's amazing. Then they made Aliyah, they moved to Eretz Yisrael, to Matzdorf, which her father basically was building. They were in the early stages of building. And they got an apartment there, and after a few weeks or a few months or something, there was this old yid that lived one flight, half a flight down from them. Mr. Isby that couldn't go to shul on Shabbos. So his wife asked, maybe we could bring your Sefer Torah into our house, and we could gather a minyan, you know, in the binyan, for him to have a shul, at least on Shabbos. She said, for sure, I have a Sefer Torah. What am I doing with it? It's such a valuable thing. So she gave it to him. Sure enough, Mr. Izzy passed away, but Mrs. Izzy was getting old. She said, maybe we can continue. Everyone enjoyed the minyan. So they said, for sure. So they continued the minyan for many, many years. They continued until Rucham Hashem herself became old, and she couldn't start making the trek down like 3 or 4 flights of steps. But there was a minyan half a flight down from her. So every Shabbos she would walk slowly, even when she was very, very old. And she always had a minyan for Shabbos. Always, she said, but you see, like, from this little thing that her father told her, yeah, write a Sefer Torah to thank Hashem for the new apartment. You see that they had minyanim with Tudolim, and then they had minyanim for, I think it's still going on, the minyan there in that little house there. But many people were older people and different people that couldn't make it to minyan had mamish minyanim for years and years from a little avak from the tzaddikim, a little avak that they got. Very recently, right? She was very, very old. Cool. Ruchama Shein, the daughter of Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman. So. Right, so you might see that there's a tremendous
she wrote the book?
Great thing, yeah, she wrote the great book.
Are you still alive in that
place? Rebecca Westerman, no.
Sure, how she was in 1929, her husband took a steamship to Mir Yeshiva in 1929, and her husband sent it to Mir Yeshiva in 1929.
Yeah, her father was probably born in 18-something. So, Rabbi Yehuda al-Shakir, he adds another dimension very interesting to this Mishnah. He says, I should drink thirstily their words. He says, drink thirstily, but be careful, don't choke. He says, a person that's dying of thirst, you give him this huge jug of water, he'll start guzzling and he'll choke and he could die. Mamas, so at the end of the Holocaust, many people, they eat and drink too quickly, the mamas die. He says, be careful not to choke. He says, the Torah and the words of the Chachamim are amazing, but you have to take it in slowly and easily. You see, when people come close to the Nachman, they become so fiery and so awesome, so rebellious that everything crashes and they're left with almost nothing. Everything in life, even with the life-giving words of the Torah that we're speaking about, need to be taken in quietly, calmly, and slowly, the Midah V'Daga.
Yeah, listen on this. I don't remember exactly what it is. I was talking about Ari Kevin, and like beyond, you brought it down 100%. Actually, no, it's in Rabbi Nachman's Wilson. That's where it is. That's where it is. Where he brings down the story of where he said a Jew is like a pot of boiling water. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he said that the pot of boiling water, people look at the pot of boiling water, where Jew does tshuva, and it looks clear, pure and clear, but it's not. Then the pot starts boiling, then he wants to do tshuva, right? It has fire, so the pot starts boiling, so all the impurities then come to the surface. So you would think. So I said. Now, if you want to clear, now it's possible that the pot is truly could be cleared out. You skin the top with a net of some sort, and you get the impurities out. He said, oh, it's possible to clear it out, just like you do with tshuva. He said, Hashem brings up all people think a person does tshuva at once. He said, no, Hashem is. Person wants to do tshuva. Hashem brings up all the things, all the evil that is going on inside of them onto the surface. That's why people, when they first do tshuva, he said,
they have a lot of fire.
Yeah, they have a lot of those fire. Or they're angry and they do all the other things because all the things are coming to the top. Right. So a person will now know what I need to work on. Now I know what I need to work on.
Right.
They skim it off. So Rabbi Nachman says here, so you would think, wait, why not just take it off all at once? He said, why not take it off all at once? So he said, because the mind, the good and evil that's inside of a person as a result of a lot of sin, right, this concept is intermingled with the mind. So if a person takes it out, if a person takes out the bad, just like on Shabbos, we have to take the good and the bad, right, he's going to end up taking his mind with it if he takes it all at once. He said, therefore, it has to be done on God. So people need to, like, I read every single birthday of mine. It's one of my favorite. It's my favorite one. And a person should know that it has to be done out loud. I've never heard it. I've heard this. But the Rabbi Nachman actually brings it down. He writes it down. Therefore, it has to be done out loud. It has to be. Yeah. It cannot be any other way.
You don't want to choke.
Yeah.
It has to be done, what, one at a time? Doing shiva has to be done little by little. First, cannot pick up everything to a break. Or their mind will become not sane. They'll become not sane.
Right. At the same time, it's good to have the fire and the passion.
Of course. Who doesn't want that?
The Rebbe said that he has some sort of place. I've heard over the years somewhere that they said that it's good to keep that, like, original fire and passion going. And there's, I always
this is the way we do it. Maybe I'm saying if a person knows that they're doing everything,
the original.
But what I'm doing now, I'm doing a little bit, but I'm doing with fire.
Right.
I'm doing tomorrow a little more, but with fire.
Right.
So
I always remember every sukkah, I'm reminded of that this thing that the Rebbe said when Reb Nosson came close to the Rebbe Slichus around Rosh Hashanah time in the first year, and he became very enthused and became back and forth. But then on sukkahs, he was in Nemirov. And he made a minion in his sukkah. He got together Naftali, a few people, and they made this fiery minion of like guys that just came close to the Rebbe and were awesome and amazing. And the Rebbe made some sort of comment afterwards, like, who knows what would have come if that minion in Naftali's or Nelson's sukkah would have kept going. And so if you think about that, it's a nice line, you know, Mashiach could have come with such an amazing minion, such fire and passion, but you think about it, it's awesome because Rav Nosson didn't hear about Hazamra, didn't hear about his Voididus. He didn't hear about Mitzvah Gedolah. He didn't hear anything from the Rebbe then. He knew almost nothing about Rav Nachman. And the Rebbe said, wow, if that minion and that spark of passion, fire, would have kept going, who knows what could have come out from that. Maisa, another idea from this is that sometimes, just like you need the idea to drink, when you trace up the summit of him, you need to drink to live. There are times that a person simply can't drink. Right? A person is so sick sometimes that they're like dehydrated, and you give them water and they throw it up. They can't even drink. They can't even get any liquids into their body. What do you do then when a person is that sick? IV. It's the only answer, right? You put an IV. It goes straight in the blood. Now, does it quench the guy's thirst, the IV? No. But it gives him the liquids and the sugars and everything that he needs to live. So the same thing is with a person in Yiddishkeit. This is my own concept, my own idea. Basically, a person sometimes, he's so dehydrated from spirituality, from Kedusha, they try to give him Kedusha, he spits it right back out. I can't be so glad, I want to hear it, nothing goes in. What do you have to do then? You have to give him a little IV. What would the IV of Yiddishkeit be? Open up Tehillim, stay kippitah Tehillim. Open up a Chomesh, read a little bit, Shnai Mikavecha Targum. Do a little bit, something diburim to Kedusha, that start to inject straight, even if you're not understanding it, you're not feeling it, but it injects straight into your blood, the words of Torah, the words of Tefillah go straight into your bloodstream, into your spiritual bloodstream, and begin to give you life. And after that, a person can come, and once you have the IV of a little Kedusha into you, so you can become enough, healthy enough, to actually begin to thirst again for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with a new thirst and passion. Like we said, to bring it into our hearts and not just speak about it.
I heard from a while ago from a girl in Chabad, maybe last year. She said something I have never heard in my life, and I was Baruch Hashem. I still remember it today because it was very big for me here. She said something. She said, "Of a person, the person's level of spirituality supersedes their commitment, that means a Yiddishkeit will fall. But if their level of commitment supersedes their feeling about spirituality, religiosity will stand the Vizokan." Similar to the idea, of like the person's pegalis, person's actions, the deeds will supersede as that of his chachma, then his chachma will
stand. Same concept.
Yeah, similar.
You gotta make sure nasa v'nishma. Even though you really want to understand the kadosh baruch hu and feel him and be passionate about nasa, you're gonna do everything. But you're not just gonna be nasa guy. You know, a guy that says like, listen, I'm doing everything no matter what, Hashem, and I don't care. I don't ever need to understand nasa v'nishma. I also want to understand.
Yeah.
Speak about that, you know.